Good evening.
Or unuku, rather. Not
Good
unuku.
evening.
Or not.
My apologies. It's evening.
To the
Welcome, everyone.
Planning and Development Committee of the Whole number 3 on this April 15th, 2025. Thank you to our interpreters this evening, Andrew and Litya. With that, I guess we will get started. First item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Councillor Stevenson moves. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty seconds. Any comments or questions to the agenda this evening? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Are there any declarations of interest this evening? Seeing none, we have no delegations or deferred business, so we will move right on into new business. 5A, request for decision, development permit, et cetera, everyone has a package. So with that, I'll hand it over for to Matthew Dodds, our Director of Planning, for presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Committee, for being here tonight. Item 5A, DP 25009 and SK 25005 concern the corner property adjacent to Nagashuck School. This is the corner closer to White Row, the area known as White Row. The proposal is comprised of two components. SK 25005 fixes outstanding issues with the existing lot and road allowance. This is done by adjoining the lots, which are currently separated. It widens the road to meet city requirements and creates a new pedestrian connection that joins into existing pedestrian networks. The second component is Development Permit 25009, which proposes to develop the newly formed lot with a new apartment building, and would demolish the existing Green Row housing. The proposed apartment building meets the intent of the lot's zone, which is R3, high density residential. The general policies of the general plan are met, and the project's proposed form, density, siting, parking, and other requirements of the zoning bylaw are all met. The proposed plans are attached to the report for your perusal. Land acquisition and disposal bylaws will be required to facilitate the swapping of land as per the sketch plan. So the staff recommendation and proposed motion is listed in the request for decision, which includes the development permit approval, sketch plan approval, and direction for staff to return with bylaws following registration of the legal survey. If there are any questions about the proposed development, as shown in the attached plans and studies, or plans and sketch plan, I'm happy to answer them. And representatives from Nunavut Housing Corporation are also here to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Going to meet Matthew. Any questions on the request for decision? Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Matthew. And you may have just mentioned it, and I know I read it earlier today when I was reading this, but can you explain to me what's happening with the walkway and how it's, what change that will be made to the walkway?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Councillor, for the question. There's two walkways proposed. Whereas part of this development, there's an existing boardwalk behind the development. This boardwalk currently houses sanitary sewer infrastructure that's only being used by this development. There are abandoned utility lines under the boardwalk that can be decommissioned once this particular improvement is demolished, because there are a couple of active units still remaining in the Green Row building that are using that sanitary sewer infrastructure. As part of the proposal, the proponent would be redesigning this area in behind their development. This would improve the safety and the drainage of this area, because right now the area is quite wet. And at the request of Public Works and Engineering, the city has entered into an agreement through conditions of the development permit to have this area redesigned. This would include raising the pedestrian walkway as shown in attachment 3, using gravel instead of a boardwalk once the infrastructure is decommissioned, and then connecting it northbound with the new right-of-way that's being proposed as part of the sketch plan. So there's two pedestrian improvements as part of this proposal, and I hope that answers your question. If there's any follow-ups, let me know.
Thank you, Matthew. And back to you, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. That definitely answers my question, and I'm happy to hear that the two right-of-ways are both being protected and maybe infrastructure being created, and that it's going to be a raised gravel walkway. It does beg the question then about snow removal, and if that is going to be considered a city responsibility or a property responsibility for those walkways. But I think it's really important that we're maintaining those walkways and those paths for pedestrians.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. The existing boardwalk is used to connect Plauga Drive to the school. However, remains under the ownership of the municipality right now and will continue to. In consultation with Public Works about both of these proposed walkways, they have expressed an eagerness to be involved in that. The exact mechanism for snow removal and schedule is to be decided on. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Any further questions or comments at this time? Would anyone like to make a motion? Oh, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I guess my question is about the breakdown of one bedroom, two bedroom, and three bedroom suggested here. Just can you give me clarity on how that breakdown was decided upon?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Back to you, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor, for the question. The proposed unit mix with 31 bedroom units, 11 two bedroom units, and 5 three bedroom units was proposed by Nunavut Housing Corporation based on their needs, their current. City staff understand that it is based on their current waiting list and projections. And if there are further questions about the unit count and why it's proposed as is, I could defer to somebody behind me from Nunavut Housing Corporation to come to the resource chair. Yeah. Okay. I will do that.
Thank you, Matthew. We've got Nick Clark, right? Stepping up to the chair. Okay. Go ahead when you're ready.
Good evening, Council. So again, this would be based on the needs list, and this was the current design that was put forward by our builder as well. So it was maximizing the number of units that we were able to place on that parcel of land.
Thank you, Nick. Does that okay? Perfect. All right. Would anyone like to make a motion? Or okay, Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Glucark seconds. Any further comments or questions for this proposal? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, we will move on to item 5B, which is a request for decision, land administration bylaw amendment. So once again, that will be Matthew presenting. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The city's land administration bylaw sets the rules for how municipal land is leased. Mechanisms like ballot draw intend to aim for fairness in the leasing process and ensure that everyone gets a chance to purchase a lot and build a home. However, a growing number of lots have been accumulated by larger companies and leased for the purpose of rental income or staff housing, reducing the market for young families or similar interested in establishing roots and building equity in our town through home ownership. City staff propose amending the land administration bylaw to give council new tools to help with this. Council, through these new policies, can allocate a proportion of residential lots when new subdivisions are created, specifically for home ownership. The lease terms would ensure the owner lives in the home as their main residence. For multi-unit buildings, council could have the option at the time of sketch plan approval to require maybe one or two lots or one lot to be set aside for condominium development. An amendment to the land administration bylaw is required to allow this mechanism to proceed and is attached to item 5B for committee's review. The amendments as proposed have been prepared in consultation with city's legal counsel. A public hearing would be required and forms part of the recommended motion in the report, along with staff's recommendation for giving first reading to the bylaw. There's a lot there, but if there are any questions pertaining to the proposal, the bylaw itself at this time, I am happy to answer those questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. I think this could be a very valuable tool for the city to use. I think we've seen this happen a few times where we've had new subdivisions that turned into things we didn't intend them to be, and puts, you know, home ownership a little further out of reach for a lot of people. So I'm excited for this prospect. Does anyone have any questions for Matthew on this? Mayor Awa, go ahead. Just one moment, Mayor. Sorry.
Sorry. For example, I just have a question. For example, for the one who wants to own a home.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. You want to try?
Thank you. Does it mean that for the city's administration? For the proposals, if there's a lot available, if there is one available, these are the The owners, the ones who want to own or build a home, would propose there is that how this is settled. Is it, are they picked randomly, for example, picked from a hat? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Matthew.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for the question. My understanding of your question is around whether this bylaw and the home ownership tool would be through ballot draw, or would it like picking names out of a hat, or would it be a call for proposals to result in a family building their home? And this bylaw does not prefer one or the other. It could be any method of disposal. What this bylaw does is when we create new lots, whether it's one or 20 or however many, council can decide that some of those lots, and there's a proposed ratio, a proposed number in the bylaw, but council can designate at the time of the approval of those new lots that some of them would be only for families that live in their homes or for owners that live in their homes. If council wishes to use ballot draw or request for proposals or a different method at that time, that's a different decision. But that decision still lies with council. I hope that answers your question. But if there's any follow-ups, let me know.
Thank you, Matthew. Any follow-up, Mayor Awa? Any further questions? Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Matthew, for bringing this. I guess my question is around the sale of a lot. So if somebody leases one of these lots that we're envisioning and then builds their home and then lives in it for a year, but the lease is, they're 20 years, are they? Or I forget how long they are, but anyway. So they are meant to stay in it in the entire duration of that lease, but they decide they need to sell. And I think it's covered in the Section 39 that they would, the same requirements would be for the purchaser at that time. I'm just trying to think around how that affects the value of the home itself. Like, so a home that has caveats around its sale has obviously got less value than a home that doesn't. Like, I think it's okay because, you know, people have to be going into this eyes wide open. Like, so when they first decide that they're going to apply for one of these lots, they need to know this and think it downstream to knowing that in the event that they need to sell, the value of their home may be considered less than the value of a exactly the same home on a lot that doesn't have restrictions on it. So I think there's fairness there, but that's, I guess my question is around that, what thinking you did around the idea of the resale and the idea of property values because of it, or if you did any.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Back to you, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor, for the question. So the first answer to your question is around transfer. So while most leases are 99 year, and the new leases will be 99 year leases, the condition of that's proposed in this bylaw would be for 20 years. After 20 years, the requirement for home ownership would be no longer applied to the lease. And in terms of the value of the property and how transfers are affected by this kind of clause, a similar experiment is ongoing with Nunavut Housing Corporation's condominium disposal, which we did see lower entry prices to purchase those units. There was a big market for those lots that had that caveat on title. So we know that there's a market for this. It's hard to appraise land in our community. So we haven't been able to do any long-term projections on what lot prices would be. But that's something that we would be able to assess at the time of the sketch plan, because if there's a large mass of lots coming online, it's going to look different than if there's only a few coming at the same time. So no, we haven't been able to calculate any projections on how the value would be impacted by this, but we're hoping that the mechanism is still attractive to future occupants.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Any follow-up at all, Councillor Stevenson? Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And no, not a follow-up. Thank you. That answer was good for me. I do have another question, though, I guess, about enforcement, I would put it as, or how we'll be ensuring that there aren't creative ways around, specifically the rental, I guess, of the property to others. Like, I the clause here says that they have to give proof. But I'm sure. Well, I think we need to really walk through, and maybe not in this room right now, but we'll be walking through the nefarious ways that people may try to get around this bylaw or whatever, because that's the experience. That was the experience in the Plateau when they did it. That was the experience a bit in Jomie Court, is that people just find a way to do whatever's in their best interest without caring for what the purpose was that the city had built. So going through the motions of trying to think of those things is important to me. And what stands out here is, like, we don't have an enforcement arm, nor do we register rentals, as far as I know. So how will we know if somebody has built the home and then just uses it as a either staff house or rental? And so on the, you know, obviously we can ask them for the information, but if they're not providing it, is there some way that we have of safeguarding against that?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Councillor Stevenson, for the question. Enforcement is a difficult problem for this. And we are looking at different solutions and consultation. We will be consulting with the Municipal Enforcement Department at the appropriate time. The mechanism for enforcement wouldn't be in the amending bylaws, which is what this discussion's about, but it's an ongoing discussion internally. One mechanism for enforcing lease clauses that we see in other jurisdictions are spot checks. So going to the door and asking for identification, if the owner is not there, asking when the owner will be there and trying to build a case in that way. But we're also looking at other options for enforcement. And at this time, I'm not able to present what those options are, but we can come back at the appropriate time with enforcement discussions.
Thank you, Matthew. I don't really like the idea of spot checking people's homes, unless perhaps there's some specific complaints against a resident. Feels a little invasive to me, unless your neighbors are like, there's a bunch of construction vehicles parked there all of the time. But I do agree that there has to be some measures in place. So, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thanks for that answer, Matthew. I think the question of enforcement obviously is something that's been raised with us and at a larger than just this issue idea, and we really need to get some clarity from ourselves on where we think our bylaw enforcement should be putting their time. deputy mayor saying that she didn't think there should be spot checks. I don't think so either, but maybe not for the same reason. I think that, you know, already we have burdened our bylaw with a lot of things, our bylaw officers, our enforcement officers. And maybe this isn't the next one on the list, or creating a new issue that they need to resolve is maybe not the best way to deal with this. But, and you know, thank you, Deputy Mayor, for saying it that way, because I was just going to say that I don't like the fact that a lot of our bylaws are only enforced by complaints, like they're complaint driven, and that the example was again of complaint driven being the only way. And I feel like that's not the best way to proceed either, that there should be mechanisms in place somehow to have people comply with the rules that are put down without only, you know, expecting that people are to put enough complaints in that we bother to do something. So anyway, I think that's a question for a bigger picture or a bigger conversation. Matthew, you said you would be thinking about this for this specific. So that's, I don't think there's a question for me in there, but that's my thoughts on that.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I might make the recommendation that we actually defer this item and take it into a workshop to maybe come up with some ideas around enforcement and how we might want this to look. Unless, of course, you want to move to defer it okay. Would anyone else like to, Councillor Glukak moves to defer it to later as well? Okay. Thank you. Any further comment or question at this time? Seeing none. Oh, Councillor Stevenson.
Thanks. I won't take much more time, but just to ensure that staff know that by deferring it, it's because we're glad it's here and we want to talk about it more, not that in any way disappointed in what was brought forward so far, because I am very happy that this issue is being dealt with. So yeah, I'm fine to defer, and we should workshop it a bit. That would be great.
Well said, Councillor Stevenson. All in favor? Yes. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. We will move on to item 5C, which is request for decision, development permit 25-007. So once again, that is Matthew. I think it's all you tonight, Matthew, but go ahead.
Hopefully I don't lose my voice. Item 5C is, as you mentioned, development permit 25-007. This is located at 412 Pona Road. It's a regular sized lot zoned for low density residential. The lot backs on to a green space, which is serving as a snowmobile trail and creek. The proposal is to construct a two-story addition to the existing dwelling, which would convert the home into a duplex with a secondary suite. So it's currently one housing unit. It'll become two housing units with a suite, so for a total of three doors. The proposal is coming to committee as it involves a request for variances. The secondary suite is slightly larger than the maximum suite size. Therefore, a variance is required to permit a 53 square meter secondary suite, which is 3 square meters larger than the maximum. The second variance is to observe a 1 meter setback instead of the required 6. This is supportable by staff as the home backs on to a green space that is currently not zoned for open space, but functions as an open space. The variance would simulate the 1 meter setback requirement that is consistent in other blocks that back onto creeks. For instance, there are several homes in Tundra Valley that back onto a creek of a similar size that currently observe a 1 meter setback. So the staff recommendation, which is in the request for decision, includes the approval of DP 25-007 and the approval of the two requests for variances as discussed. If there are any questions pertaining to the item as it's proposed in the request for decision, myself or Riel, the lead planner on this file who's behind me, we're here to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. I have a question on this one, and it's not necessarily in regards to this, I guess, specific application for variance, but it was brought to my attention in relation to this that so our zoning bylaw sets the maximum limit for a secondary suite at 50 meters squared. And the National Building Code sets it at 75. So I'm wondering if you know why there would be a discrepancy between the two, if you know there was a reason why we went that way or it is that way, or if that's something we could look at. Because I think, you know, being aligned with National Building Code seems simpler maybe than coming up with our own. So, thanks.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, for the question. We are aware of this discrepancy and we've fixed it in the draft zoning bylaw to adjust to match the building code. Great question.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
Good evening to me, Deputy Mayor Smith. And thank you, Matthew. I have a couple of questions. One of the questions I have here is on the challenges that the dwelling already encroached into other yards due to illegal non-forming status. Can you explain that, please?
Thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor. Matthew, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Alternate Deputy Mayor, for the question. The property is interpreted to be legally non-conforming from the available evidence that we have. This means that the existing house was constructed under a different bylaw or different set of regulations at the time or a lack thereof. And with current policies, it no longer conforms. So the front part of the home, and I can show you the image that shows this, this is in attachment two. Oh, it should be attachment four. So the third page, there's an orange square. So you can see that right underneath where it says 412, there's encroachments into the front yard setback. They're irregularly shaped. They include the mudroom of the existing dwelling and an entrance way to get into the building. And so those currently encroach into the front, and then at the side yard, they encroach into the side. This could have been the result of, with available evidence, this could have been the result of the lot being resurveyed after the home was built, or the home not being built to a particular standard at the time of construction, but the permit is not available to city staff, so we have to use what is available. I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor, go ahead.
Deputy Mayor Smith, thank you, Matthew. Yes, another question is that this year we have some problems up the river, further up, where the river was overflowing, and it was affecting the house, one of the houses that I know Public Works were working to solve the problem. Now this particular request is right into the stream, on the edge of the stream, and it's part of the Skidoo Trail at the same time. How will that affect if this, I know the piles are a little higher on the edge of on the end of the dwelling. So my question is that I guess this city is not responsible if we were to approve this, and once the units have been built and it overflows, there's some problems adjacent to the stream. Are we liable? Thank you.
The alternate deputy mayor Flaherty, back to you, Matthew.
Thank you for the question, alternate deputy mayor Flaherty. This this was communicated to the developer at the time of proposal that the creek behind does run high from time to time, typically in the spring, and they were aware, and they incorporated that into their proposal by proposing the higher piles. The city would not be liable if by approving this there was damage to the home. The city would not be liable. It's as proposed by the developer, and it is their real property. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Matthew. Back to you, alternate deputy mayor. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Thank you, Matthew, for the response. This is just a general comment. We seem to be approving lately a lot of these units that are putting two-story and so forth in these certain areas in Happy Valley. I was doing some little bit of research, and back in 2003, there was a core area capital district redevelopment plan that was put in place for the skidoo trails and so forth. And there was another study done in 2007. It's called done by BC2. Strategic exclusive planning to provide a sustainable framework for development of Iqaluit, Nunavut's largest, fastest growing city. A study was done to a number of studies that was done in that. And here we are making decisions without actual master plan. That was my main concern. We seem to be building. Every application seemed to be approved. We recently approved 5454 up in our area that's supposed to have a skidoo trail, and I believe they have a sign out right now for permitting, and this is probably going for the permitting too. My main concern is that we seem, as the city councilors, part of our planning session last fall, we were planning to ensure that proper residential areas, private ownership, and other concerns were discussed during a planning meeting. But before even we have a master plan, here we are adding another piece to the puzzle where there's a private owner. He's putting an addition to public, I believe this is low-density residential units. I'm just a little concerned. That's just my general comment. Thank you.
Thank you, alternate deputy mayor Flaherty. And we haven't approved that one yet. It is still coming back for public hearing and second reading. So, Councillor Stevenson, go ahead.
Thank you, deputy mayor. Yeah, I was also going to say that one isn't approved. It was read for first reading, but still has other steps. And I share Councillor or Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty's concerns. I really do. I think first, I guess my comment about this project is got to do with aesthetics. I don't the design, and you're not really seeing that much from this page, the side elevations, but it really does look from everything I see like it's kind of just gluing two buildings together. And I don't wonder about how much of the continuity of design was discussed, investigated, and influenced by city staff. Like, so how much input did you have on how the end result of a was basically just taking a building and sticking it on the back of another building will be. That's maybe not my largest concern with the development. I do think, well, like I said at the start, I share Councillor Flaherty's concern about these neighborhoods and us always just because of what we have deemed the housing crisis, us always being willing to accept any infill to have as many doors on each property as possible without too much thought to how it affects our neighborhoods. So I have that concern. I also though have a concern, and if you look at attachment two, and I know these lines aren't probably 100% accurate, but it looks like there's a lot of non-conforming buildings in terms of the 6 meter setback in this area. Looks like the neighbor to the right of this lot probably doesn't conform to its side lot line. I'm guessing if that lot line's close to where it's supposed to be, I believe that's a 3 meter setback on sides. So it would seem to me that when redeveloping a non-conforming lot, that we would be pushing instead of creating more non-conformance, we'd be pushing for the new developments to conform. Or to fix problems of nonconformity. I know in this case, and it may be why the developer chose to keep the original building and add on to it, was that then he might not have to, or they might not have to face that criticism. But I still think this is the one place where we get to say, by accepting or not accepting variances, that we want buildings to conform to the plans that we have, and one of those plans is the 6 meter setback. I do see city staff's opinion and logic that the 1 meter setback is similar to what would be on other similar lots, but in this case, it's not. It is a 6 meter setback in this lot, and I feel strange about approving a development that would just make it even more non-conforming than it already is. I think maybe that's all I have for just this second, but like, could you respond to that earlier question about design and the influence on design?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew, go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Stevenson. On design, staff have certain policies for certain sizes of buildings, such as the core area urban design guidelines for larger buildings in the core area. They don't apply to the smaller residential lots. We do have some general policy for informing developers that their siding and the color when they're extending their existing house should be consistent, and the finishes should be consistent with the existing building. But that's as far as that policy goes. For this particular design, we did not have input on the final proposal. This was as submitted and as preferred by the property owner and architect. The just on non-conforming lots, this was the biggest challenge for staff in forming a recommendation. We did struggle with that, and there was a lot of discussion internally on whether it was supportable. And we came to the recommendation based on looking at it as if it was a proposal that there's a mechanism in planning called site coverage, which looks at how much of a lot is being developed and what is typically reasonable in the city. And we felt that because the extension is just a small, it only comprises half of the width of the lot, the total coverage of the site was minimal. That said, there are other proposals we're dealing with right now that are non-conforming, and we're not able to support them. They're not coming here. So you're not only seeing, we're not bringing everything to you guys. A lot of developments, we're working with applicants to be conforming, to get to conformity. This is the one that made it through. It was challenging to support, but we did find a way to support it using site coverage. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Follow-up, Councillor Stevenson? Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer, Matthew. I would say to, again, alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty's point, we need to have opinions as a council about what, you know, little mini neighborhoods like this are going to end up being. Because I know the backside houses are all public housing. They've stated already, the public housing, Nunavut housing isn't building single dwellings anymore. So when they want to replace those, they're going to want to mix those lots together and make big five flexes. They're going to want to change the nature of this neighborhood. And if we don't want that, because we want little micro neighborhoods like this, then these are the places where we need to make those decisions. If we disagree, and if you disagree with me, excuse me, and you think that we can have, like, that maybe this should be a densified area, you know, that's fine too. But I think, to Councillor Flaherty's point, we need to be making those decisions, not having them happen to us as they come on the fly and we get pushed to make a decision quickly about one that changes the entire neighborhood slowly, as opposed to us making a decision that says, hey, this is what we want in this area. We want to be able to have these single dwellings and the Skidoo Trail down the middle and the stream and the non-green space protected. If that's what we want, we need to make those decisions. Us need to make those decisions.
Thank you for that, Councillor Stevenson. I do agree, and I do share a lot of the concerns that you have. Just for clarification on this item, this would not require rezoning to medium density or high density. This still falls within low density definition. Okay, thank you, Mayor Awa. Go ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Matthew. I just one question, which the couple of councillors mentioned, clarification on, is it this on the Skidoo Trail?
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Matthew can confirm, but I believe it's next to the Skidoo Trail, but the Skidoo Trail is off in behind. So it's close, but not quite on it. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Mayor Awa, for the question. The proposed addition is not constructed on where the current Skidoo Trail is, but in the winter, this whole area is kind of used by children on snowmobiles and things of that nature. So it's a very wide area with tracks all over it. And so there will be room for skidoos if developed, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just for clarity of process, unlike, you know, the development that was being talked about earlier, where it's a zoning bylaw issue, so we will see it again, and there was having to be public notification and public hearing about. In this case, this is it. If we approve these variances, then this developer can go ahead and build the building, because we'd be approving the variances and therefore the development permit. So this is the last time. I mean, obviously it goes council. So one more time, but there's no other real place for discussion on this after these recommendations are passed to council, correct?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew.
The motion at council next week would formalize the decision, but there would be an appeal period for this as well. And the residents would be have the opportunity to appeal the development at that stage.
Thank you very much, Matthew, and thank you, Councillor, for giving us that clarification. Are there any further comments or questions? Go ahead, Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, W. Mayor. I guess for our group, I'm going to vote against this if it comes up. I don't know if anyone's intending to make a motion, but I would also, be in favor of talking about this again if people wanted that, which would be like sending staff back and asking maybe the developer to come and see some more detailed plans, talk about some other options if that was worthy, or just send staff back to discuss with them. Like, either it could happen here with us or it could happen at staff level and see if they come back with something else. But, that's my opinion, not others. I'm not speaking for you is what I'm trying to say, but I would vote against a motion if it is presented to support these changes.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Would we like to send it back to staff for further analysis, or would someone like to make a motion to do that? Or go ahead, Councillor Stevenson.
I would make a motion then. If nobody's jumping up to motion to support, I would make a motion to refer this back to staff for further discussion with the developer.
Thank you very much, Councillor Stevenson. Would anyone like to second that? Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty. Once again, further comments, questions? Seeing none, all in favor. Unanimous. Thank you. All right. Moving on to item 5D. Request for decision, zoning bylaw amendment, ZBA 25-003. So once again, Matthew, take it away.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The developer of 3244 Jack Anahuac Street, also known as Apex Pop Shop, is proposing to it's gained neighborhood support by petition to construct a small convenience store by converting a sea container on his lot. Typically, accessory retail stores, so retail stores that are detached from the main residence, are not permitted in the R1A zone, which is low-density residential on truck services. The proposed bylaw amendment would permit an accessory retail store only to the size, maximum size of a standard sea container. Staff find this proposal to be supportable as it would not impact the form and character of Apex. Sea containers are already permitted, one per lot, and the lot is large enough to support the parking and access requirements of a small convenience store of this size. The recommended motion from staff is in the request for decision and includes giving first reading to the amending bylaw to zone the lot to R1A Special Exception 4, and to schedule a public hearing and second reading. The attachments include the site location, context, a site plan at the preliminary level, and documentation of neighborhood support, and the amending bylaw that's being proposed If there are any questions pertaining to the item, myself or the lead planner, Riel, are here to answer the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Any comments or questions on this item this evening, gang? I think a public hearing would be a great thing to find out if this is what the people of Apex, you know, want. I don't know, who are we to tell them what they want specifically, but I would think it's a good idea to hear from them on this item, certainly. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think the public hearing would be good too. I know that there's already a store operating in Apex. I know that people of Apex have always wanted some kind of retail there. Is this that same store? I don't really know. I know that there was a store and it was, yeah, I don't, is this that same store? Do you know that answer?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Matthew.
Thank you for the question. Staff did receive notification of a store operating in Apex, and this proposal is the process to regularize that store, and we've asked for a pause on activity until regularized.
Thank you, Matthew. Councillor Stevenson.
I would make a motion to accept the two recommendations.
Councillor Stevenson moves. Mayor Awa seconds. Any further comments or questions at this time? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, we're on to our last item of the evening, 5E, request for decision, land disposal bylaw. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Chair. A lot that was previously not offered for public disposal due to its smaller size has emerged as an ideal candidate for Nunavut Housing Corporation's modular housing pilot project. The proposal is to directly dispose of the lot under Section 13 of the Land Administration Bylaw to Nunavut Housing Corporation at a discounted rate from market value. The lot is an Apex. It's shown in Attachment 1. Staff have visited the site. Nunavut Housing Corporation have also visited the site, and it is feasible for the proposed structure as shown in the site plan in Attachment 2. It's been reviewed by Public Works from the perspective of servicing. Once disposed, city staff would receive a permit application for the actual development as usual. The appraisal for the lot came in at $149,000 after the 30% lot price reduction under Section 52 of the Land Administration Bylaw. The lot would be disposed and priced at $104,300. So the recommendation includes giving first, second, and third reading to a land disposal bylaw for Lot 2, Block 11, Plan 1986, to direct staff to obtain a land appraisal, which for Lot 2, Block 11, Plan 1986, and establish the lot price at 30% below appraised market value, and approve the disposal of Lot 2, Block 11, Plan 1986 to Nunavut Housing Corporation for the development of a 3-bedroom modular home. If there are any questions, happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. We'll give it back to Councillor Stevenson. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Matthew, for bringing this. I'm actually going to appeal to Councillor Nuttuck to help me with memory here, but to make sure everyone knows what lot we're talking about, this is John Graham and Eva Michaels' home, is the T-shaped one, and what was Alice Ijomi's home is the one, and that's this is filling the space in between. And I know that this came to council once before, and there was significant opposition to filling this space, in spite of the fact that it is, you know, fillable in terms of it's our right to do so, but that it was considered a traditional pathway to the fishing that takes place in Apex, and that Apex Mute were very unhappy with the idea of it. I don't remember the actual, like, what we were trying to put there or why, but I know that this lot came up and it was a very big deal at the time that we not, I don't know, maybe Simon, you remember, because I don't remember, but as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, that's not good. So anyway, I don't, do you, if Simon doesn't remember, do you have any knowledge of past attempts to develop this space?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Councillor Nutduck, do you you remember? Go ahead.
Yeah. Camera only two up to go.
I don't have a clear memory of it. But in regards to that land, the people of Apex, they wanted an opportunity to decide on what they want to do with that lot. And that was a problem. I don't remember everything about it. It happened a while back. Thank you.
Can you make Councillor Nuttuck, Matthew, do you have any more history on that, perhaps? Go ahead.
Thank you for the discussion, Councillor Stevenson and Councillor Nuttuck on this lot. When we investigated the history and the notes on this lot, the paper trail and the notes on why the lot was not disposed originally was due to its small size. When we came to those notes and from the original subdivision, that sort of ended that investigation, and we proceeded with the more site fit perspective analysis on the disposal and whether it was feasible to even develop it. That was our understanding. I'm happy to hear that there are other concerns with developing this lot. It's important information for staff, and it's something that we can look into before coming back with a proposal. We take that very seriously. So thank you for alarming us of that concern.
Thank you, Matthew. Alternate Deputy Mayor Flaherty, go ahead.
Good evening, Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Matthew. There seem to be some concerns or in the past. I would recommend that bring it back to maybe approach Apex residents on this if they have any feedback. Desire or leave it as it is, and that would be my approach, my recommendation. So I'll bring back to Lands Department for further consultation with the residents of Apex before we go back. Thank you.
Are you moving to, you're moving to refer it back to staff? Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Councillor Glucart seconds the motion. Any further comment or question? Seeing none, all in favor. Unanimous. Thank you. Okay. With that, we've got no in-camera session, so just adjournment. So Mayor Awa moves to adjourn. Councillor Glugark seconds. All in favor. Unanimous.